You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. It's an intimate podcast day. A trio, your three amigos. Alex Gelhar, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, behind the glass. What's up, man?
Not too much. The three amigos is right. I mean, we're kind of the core of this podcast. We've had, you know, Fabs and Rank and Harmon and Franchise and everybody rotating through, but this is the tripod that supports the fantasy podcast.
I was going to say the big three.
The big three, too.
Okay, there you go. MG, my guy Marcus Grant. What's up?
Does this mean I'm like Dusty Bottoms? Or lucky,
hey, man.
Lucky day, maybe?
By the way, man. Wait,
which big three would we be going with?
I don't know.
He said three amigos, so that's kind of where I was going.
Well, then he said big three, and that was making me think, like, is this Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce?
Sounds about right. That sounds about right, where
so
it's like...
Are you Ray Allen as the host and point guard?
Well, Ray Allen was a shooting guard. I would... It's like, am I the castaway Rajon Rondo? Is that what I am? No, actually, all this talk of Big Three, though, and then, of course, we introduce MG, who is a big-time Warriors fan. And what was I telling you last week, man? Congratulations on the championship.
Look, it's not over. They're only halfway there.
You know what they should do?
They
should cancel the series. Just give the championship to the Dubs. Just save LeBron and the Cavs the embarrassment of getting blown out at home, because that's what's going to happen. They've completely given up.
Look, we're going back to Cleveland.
Like
games coming in Cleveland.
This is like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Like, the Warriors reached into LeBron's soul, got his heart, pulled it out, and is like, okay, cool, we're done now.
Kalima.
I like that Marcus sent us on Slack, our inner office IM client, a vine somebody made of the scene from The Shining where the kid's riding the big wheel and he runs into the twins, but the kid riding the big wheel was LeBron, and the twins were Steph and Clay.
Oh.
It was pretty great.
Oh, that's all right. Big time show in front of us here today. We're going to be talking about pumping up the draft kit a little bit more because there's so much great content on there, man. We're going to be talking about bargains. Marcus wrote a great piece there. Talk about some breakout candidates as well. Michael Fabiano, the author of that beautiful column,
and through the draft kit. Don't forget, you can sign up today. Drafts will open later this week, I think. Don't hold me to this. June 15th.
Okay.
What I've been hearing whispers of when you can actually draft.
But you can do mock drafts now.
You can do mock drafts now. Sign up. Like, get your league in there. Get all your friends in there.
Sure.
I mean, we all know the trouble sometimes of trying to harangue 10
right.
people. Like, you know, yep. Kyle, sign up for the league. Like, accept the email invite. Like, what email? I don't know where it went. Like, is it in my promotions folder on Gmail? So start now. Get everybody in. Get your league set up. You don't want to miss out. Because before you know it, drafts are going to be coming up. Preseason's going to be here. And then, bam! It's fantasy, baby.
No, no, I hear you. And like I said, I think the mock draft aspect of it is super interesting. I know that it might not be draft season per se, but man, mock drafts are really starting to ramp up now. We're really starting to see a lot more mock drafts start right now. And you can find, again, go to NFL.com/fantasy to sign up for all the fantasy stuff and to find some great content. But if you want to find the draft kit specifically, it's very easy. NFL.com/draft kit. And again, you're going to find busts. You're going to find bargains, breakouts, a lot of B words.
Sleepers, deep sleepers.
Sleepers, sleepers and deep sleepers.
Can we just call them bleepers and deep bleepers? just
keep
this thing going?
Yes, absolutely. I do love it. Hey, let's get to our top headlines.
Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, top headline coming out of Buffalo. What's up with Sammy Watkins? We don't know when he's going to be back. He doesn't know when he's going to be back. He says, quote, "This is an injury where you have to be really careful. The only thing I could do is listen to the staff and take it slow." When is he coming back? No one knows. Nobody. He says, he goes on to say, quote, "Nobody knows what timetable, what or when I'll be back."
Thank you, Sammy. That's why I wanted to put this in here, because for the weeks preceding this, everything from Doug Whaley and, you know, Rex Ryan was like, "Oh, we're super optimistic. Like, he'll be back for sure by week one or training camp or whatever." But this, Sammy's speaking the truth. Like, this is the injury, like we said previously, that Julio Jones had or that Devontae Parker had. And, like, it's a tricky one to come back from, so
absolutely,
we don't know. Could Sammy be back by week one? Yes. But, like, we don't know. So if you're heading into drafts and you're wanting to target Sammy Watkins, there is that big red risk flag attached to him.
I will pass. I'm gonna pass on Watkins.
Okay, so where would you take him? Like, if he were still hanging around in like the fourth round, would you take him? I mean,
I think in most drafts he'll fall to the fourth round with all this.
That's
news.
Where he went in our latest analyst mock.
So then, okay.
Rank took him in round four with the second pick.
Okay, so you wouldn't do it there. So then what?
Six.
Okay.
He's not going to be there at six.
Probably
somebody's gonna say too much upside. I'll take him. I mean, especially by the time you get to the fourth, fifth round. I mean, there's, you know, you start looking at those names in that fifth round, and you're like,
Here's a couple of the guys that went immediately after Watkins, wide receiver wise.
Okay.
In round four, Fabiano took Demaryius Thomas. Wilk took Jarvis Landry. Harmon took Randall Cobb. Took Kelvin Benjamin.
Absolutely.
And then Wilt came back around again and took Edelman, and then I took Doug Baldwin.
All those guys I like better than
I mean, if Watkins was perfectly healthy, I'd take him over all of those guys.
Oh, sure.
In a heartbeat, but foot thing, man.
That's it's no joke. And again, we're talking about a guy, right, that has had a lot of lower body injuries. We're talking about a hip surgery. He had a hip labrum injury to start his career. We saw a pretty nasty ankle sprain last year that took a few weeks to get back from. But, again, just given his injury history and kind of given his situation right now where he's saying, "I'm not exactly sure," there's a lot to be worried about.
There's also a case where to try and set your fantasy drafts as late in the off season as possible, like
third
week in August, so you can have clarity on these things and you don't get burned by like the Kelvin Benjamin.
Let me put it to you this way. Let's say he's back and on track to play in week one, but he's missed all of training camp. He's missed, you know, let's say like two or three of the preseason games. Let's say he gets a couple reps in the fourth week of the preseason, and he's good to go week one. Are you still comfortable drafting that guy?
Yes.
I mean, a young dude, he's still learning the offense.
He's good at this point.
I think he's still learning the nuances of the NFL game.
Yeah, well, I think you're talking about in that scenario, I think he still is coming off the board early fourth, maybe late third round, which gives you the opportunity to go out and still get a top-notch wide receiver one to potentially pair up. So if you go and maybe you get a wide receiver in the first round, you take a Dez Bryant or something like that, and you come back around in the third round and you get Sammy Watkins, yeah, I think you'll be okay with it.
I think he's going earlier third or late second if he's starting week one. Like in this Mike Evans, Brandon Marshall, Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey tier, he's going to slide right into that if he's starting week one, just because the upside is tremendous. He was so dominant down the stretch. And he and Tyrod Taylor will be back together. And I think like you said, sure he's young, he's still learning some of the nuance, but he's almost already there. Like, let's not forget that game where he played Darrell Revis last year, he roasted him in that game, but they just couldn't connect. He finished with like one catch for 4 yards. So this is a guy that understands it. He's got all the physical tools, and if he's back in week one, I am confident taking confident taking him in round two or three.
To give the folks out there an idea of where we all have him. Again, the rankings haven't been fully updated yet, but we've got him all in that 18 to 25 range. That's where we got him. Oh, I guess money's got him at 32, so he's not too bullish on Sammy Watkins. But everyone other than money, and we're talking about myself, Fabs, Alex, MG, and Rank, we've got them all anywhere between 18 and 23, actually.
Those are overall or just among wide
receivers? No, overall. Yep, overall, 18 and 23. So, that's smack dab in that second, third round range. But that injury, man, it just scares me. It just really scares me. All right, next headline out of Cleveland. Gary Barnage has sports hernia surgery. No. The Barnyard Dog.
No.
He's going to miss the rest of the team's offseason program, but should return for the start of training camp. That according to head coach Hugh Jackson. It's supposedly a minor surgery.
All surgery that doesn't happen to be minor.
I always love, Patrick Claibon's the one, it's just minor where they cut open your body and remove something and then sewed you back up. That sounds minor.
Any surgery that doesn't happen to me is minor. If it happens to you, that's minor surgery. If it happens to me, it's major surgery.
Man, I don't know what to make of the news. How much do you drop him? If at all.
Barnage seems to have been sitting around in that, tight end five-ish range, five or six, for people, the truly elite guys that are ahead of him. But, I mean, given this injury now and that he's on the Cleveland Browns, I think it'd be, acceptable to drop him down maybe towards that seven or eight range instead and take one of those guys that might have been right behind him but who's going to be healthier, like a Delanie Walker or something, over Barnage instead.
All right. I when I was writing my bus piece, I called Fabiano Gelhorn Marcus the Trust. Sounds like an awesome wrestling stable, by the way.
Does.
The Trust.
It does.
But it's short for the Brain Trust, and the Brain Trust here at NFL.com, we're talking about Fabs, Marcus, and Gelhar. They've got Gary Barnage in the late 50s, early 60s range. I've got him a little bit down, little lower at 73, so not too much variance there, except for the fact that Rank has him at 87.
Wow.
And then Matt Money Smith has him at 97. So I guess Matt really can't drop him too much further down, almost out of his top 100. But yeah, so that's just kind of give you an idea of what the price range is on Gary Barnett. I kind of understand where money's going with this, in that the tight end position is deep. Gary Barnett had seemed to kind of have a pop year. And again, a new coaching staff, who knows what's going to happen there.
I think that's my big fear with Barnage is that, this is a guy who was a journeyman who I think had, four or five career touchdowns. I don't even know if he had that many coming into last year. And then
right.
he had nine
right.
last season. So,
regression.
There's got to be a big regression. This is a guy who had been in the league for a number of years before he finally blew up. So it's hard to think that all of a sudden now he's just going to be
right.
a superstar.
Yeah, so I get where money's going. I get where money's going, but I love the Barnyard Dog. I can't take him that low. I can't drop him that low. Hey, let's go to Oakland, shall we? Derek Carr should have his own stamp on the Raiders' offense. What does this all mean, Gelhar? What the hell does this all mean? What kind of stamp is he going to have?
It's at that point now, and this is off-season trope, danger zone here as well, but where, you hear this all the time with the young quarterback, now he's been in the system a couple years. We're gonna give him more liberty at the line to change plays, or see what he sees, or put plays into the game plan and stuff. Because this last year, Carr had his second offensive coordinator in 2 years, but now he's got some consistency. He's got great weapons around him. So this is just the beginning of this potential hype train for him. But why I wanted to put it in here for the discussion is if he does take the next step, and we know he's got two great targets around him with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree.
Sure.
Are we a little too low on Carr? I think we've got him in the very early teens, most of us in our ranking.
Almost 4,000 yards last year, 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That's amazing. A 91 quarterback rating for Derek Carr. Come on. It's a young offense, young quarterback. No, you're right. There's a lot to like about this strong arm guy out of Fresno. And you might be right. He's one of those guys where if you are waiting on quarterback, and I think this is the year. I don't want to say it like this is the only year, but last year I was hyper on taking a big name quarterback. But this year, you have to wait on quarterback. You absolutely have to wait on quarterback. And I think a big part of it is Derek Carr. I look at guys like Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, guys with tremendous upside. Blake Bortles is still going pretty late. Those are guys that, man, if you're waiting on quarterback, and again, I cannot advocate it enough. You got to wait on quarterback this year. Derek Carr sitting there and looking at you and saying, hey, here I am. I could possibly put up top five, top eight production.
I mean, yeah. I think I won't say he's a lock to be a top 10 quarterback, but
he's a lock.
He's sitting in a really good spot right now.
I think he's a lock to be a top 10. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be to push beyond that.
Looking at the overall the rankings that we put out in the draft kit and the player profiles that were kind of the aggregate, and we had our little rankings council where we gathered. We ended up slotting Derek Carr at 13, but I think he's right in this tier of guys. And you already mentioned a couple of the names out just outside the top 10. Who wouldn't surprise me at all if they were in the top 10 or if not higher. We had Philip Rivers at 11, Blake Bortles at 12, Carr at 13, Dalton at 14, Mariota at 15. Like, those are all guys who could, you know, Rivers is already there. We know he's an elite quarterback, but
yeah,
Bortles, Mariota could take the next step. If Dalton is fully healthy and if what we saw last year is the Dalton of the future now and it's not
it's
the
not.
Hey now, that's rude. Why would you say that of the Red Rifle?
It's not.
But anyways, these are guys that could make that step up there. So
I think Philip Rivers could take a step back this year. I love him. I love him as a player. But I think he could take a step back.
He's got now though.
Yeah,
Travis Benjamin, Stevie Johnson.
It's not even about
Danny Woodhead.
It's just more about the It's more about the fact that this guy's taking a beating.
I love that you slide that in.
I was waiting. I was like, do I throw in Gates first or just slip Woodhead in here? But nah.
The GOAT, Danny Woodhead.
He could. He has taken a beating.
He's taken a beating back there, which kind of makes me concerned a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like the targets he has. I think Keenan Allen actually is going to have a monster year, especially in PPR. But, you know, Gates is old. Stevie Johnson is a nice – he's a nice piece, but he kind of disappeared. He was hurt a little bit last year. Travis Benjamin's kind of a nice piece. I just hope they can keep Philip Rivers upright.
But to your point, James, yeah, like waiting on a quarterback this year, there are so many great guys that you can wait, and we'll get to one of them who I don't want to spoil in Marcus's bargains column. But this is the case where, like, lots of times I don't always advocate taking two quarterbacks, but if you wait, you can kind of hedge your bets on these guys if one does stumble out of the gate. Then you get two shots at one of those guys in this tier. Like, you could take Carr and Dalton and hope one of them jumps up there. And then once one does get hot, just ride that hot hand all the way.
Speaking of the quarterback depth, three of our six analysts don't even have Derek Carr in their top 100.
I mean, I think he would probably fall just outside that.
I agree. But it's nothing against Derek Carr. It's just that the quarterback position is so
why you can wait. Yeah.
Deep this year. And it's why a lot of analysts have quarterbacks like Derek Carr out of their top 100, because you figure you could get a guy very similar to Derek Carr in that 10th, 11th round. And there's a lot of quarterbacks staring you right in the face there. I've got him at 88. MG's the most hyper on him, and he's got a 74. And I think that's a fair range. I really do. I think Derek Carr is going to be a guy. Don't you guys think that there's going to be a lot of variance on him? Somebody's going to say, hey, look, I really believe in him.
Oh, in opinions, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of where he's going to go in a draft. In a 10-team draft, a 10-team league, I could see him going the 8th round. I really can't.
Well, I will tell you that my league of record is based in Fresno, California.
And
I can guarantee you Derek Carr is going to go off the board fairly early.
I was going to tease you both for a little bit of Pac-12 bias with Derek Carr here, because you guys have him the highest. But I mean, the thing with Carr is, if you are a believer and you're bullish on him, you're hoping that what we saw in the first half of the season from him last year, where he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games with 20 or more fantasy points in his first 8, is what he's going to carry over into the second season and not into this season, excuse me, and not the second half of the season where he only did that once, because he kind of slowed down the stretch. And were it not for a couple of decent games against Tennessee and Green Bay, he would have put up rather mediocre numbers down there. But, you know, Amari Cooper could be taking the next step. Michael Crabtree's already there. Clive Walford, you know, a lot to like.
I will get to a trio of headlines in Green Bay. One of them is that Packers tight end Jared Cook underwent foot surgery. Again, not supposed to be a major procedure on his foot, but never a good sign when you see a guy get a procedure done on his feet.
It was described as preventative,
yes,
which is encouraging because they could have been one of those ones where they're like, well, this might not come up later, and then it comes up later. So I'm optimistic from that. But, I mean, Cook was a total wild card for me yeah. in Green Bay this year. This was either going to be the year he puts everything together and is a great fantasy asset and a great player.
Right.
Or we never need to talk about him again.
Or he is who we thought he was, and Aaron Rodgers can't lift him up.
Oh, man. Mike McCarthy described him as a big target and very, very athletic. A lot of folks kind of project him to be the number one guy at the tight end position.
He will be if he's healthy.
Right, if he's healthy. So everyone's kind of waiting to see if he'll get back for training camp. If not, it's going to be Rip Rodgers once again. The Cal on Cal, Rodgers to Rodgers connection. I'm pulling for it. I think it can happen. The other headline, the two headlines surrounding Aaron Rodgers. One, he's given up cheese, apparently.
No.
Wait, he lives in Wisconsin, and
yes.
he plays in Wisconsin, and he's giving up cheese.
Apparently.
With Tom Brady's diet and stuff, right?
Yeah, so he's on this new diet kick. He used to have this 80-20 rule, where it was 80% nutritious stuff, and then 20% he could, you know.
Like a larger cheat day.
Yeah,
window,
exactly.
What he was
exactly,
having.
Exactly. But he's kind of given that up, and he's, you know, I don't know if it's Eddie Lacy who inspired him.
No, I think
I don't know. This sounds like a girlfriend thing.
No, it's Tom Brady that inspired him because Rodgers and Brady are two of the most like insane like competitive guys in the league. I mean, everybody in the league is competitive, but those are the two of the ones. And you hear the stories too, like guys from Green Bay would say you don't even want to play like pick up basketball or like Madden with Rodgers because he's way too
competitive. Right.
So this is one where Rodgers is looking at Brady, and he's talked to him in off seasons and gotten help on when he was younger about progressing and stuff like that. And he's looking at Brady playing at an elite level at 38, and Rodgers is sitting at, 32? And
he's 32 years old.
He's like, if I have to cut cheese out of my diet for the next 5 years or whatever to play at that level till I'm 38 or 40, then heck yeah. He's like, I want to win another title. So that's what that is. It's not Eddie Lacy.
By the way, you should get excited about Aaron Rodgers, no? I mean, the guy's – I think he's angry about last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You talk about the competitive streak. I think he's pissed about last year. He's getting in shape. He's got some weapons coming back. He's got developing talent as well.
Yeah.
I mean
– Chris Wessling just said this. I was listening when I was at the gym last night to the most recent Around the NFL podcast, and he actually said they had fearless predictions. You should download theirs, too. It's a great podcast, guys. But his was that the Packers offense this year will set records. Because like you just said – when you think about everything that's coming back this year, he's getting one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Jordy
back.
Nelson.
Randall Cobb's going to go back to his more natural position in the slot and is going to be fully healthy.
Ty Montgomery developing.
Ty Montgomery's going to be back and healthy. They've got Jared Cook now, hopefully healthy.
Right.
If they get Eddie Lacy slimmed down again, he's a top 10 back in the NFL.
Sure.
Like, and then you've got Aaron Rodgers.
Who's, like I said, just mad at the world. You know what I mean?
He's 2 years ago. They were jobbed basically in overtime of going to the Super Bowl. Last year, everybody in his offense died. This year, it's a revenge tour.
Yes, everyone did die. No, you're right. It's hard not to really really like the Green Bay offense and Aaron Rodgers this year. I mean, of course, everybody's got to stay healthy. I mean, that's just kind of a given. But you got to love that the continuity. Speaking of the continuity, the third headline out of Green Bay for me anyways is that Aaron Rodgers is kind of really delving back into the playbook because Mike McCarthy, I guess, has changed the language system of his offense. But a lot of continuity there. And again, we're seeing Aaron Rodgers really get refocused into the game, putting his head in there, really delving in. And there's been reports out of Green Bay that he has 100%. Adopted this new language that they've installed into the new offense, and he's really buying in.
And the last thing working in the Packers' favor here is Mike McCarthy's back to calling plays full time.
There you go.
He stepped off of it last year
right.
and took it over back late in the season when
right.
the offense kind of it stepped up to another level again. So.
Yep. I like it.
How convenient that when there are no players there, when everyone's dead, Mike McCarthy backs off the play call. Now everybody's back.
He took it last year when everybody was still dead.
<I'll take
it.
laughs> Oh, boy.
All right, last headline.
Out of New Orleans, Drew Brees is ranting and raving about rookie Michael Thomas out of Ohio State. He says he, quote, he gets it. He gets it. His improvement over these six practices has been awesome, Breeze said in the Times-Picayune. From day one until now, the same mistakes are not being made. He's on to the next set of challenges, and he's continuing to progress well. What do we make of the news?
Go ahead, Marcus.
Well, do we love it? Do we love it?
Sure. I don't know. I feel like – so I was not – about the time this story came out last week, Will Brinson at the CBS, I thought, had a fun tweet. It just says NFL June, and it had a bunch of scenarios that seemed to happen every June.
Okay.
And first one was Breeze thrilled with parentheses Saints rookie wide receiver.
It's a great point.
I mean, look, and I'm not saying Michael Thomas is definitely.
Who was it last year? Was it Shontavious something or other?
I don't know. I feel like Nick Toon was one once upon a time.
Well, Brandon Coleman got he.
Oh, that's who it was.
He didn't get this level of praise, but. When it was Brandon Cooks 2 years ago, it was just like
oh, it was off the charts,
raining praise it was
off
every
the
day.
Charts.
I feel like this is a slightly different scenario, only because of the athletic profile of a guy like Michael Thomas, right?
I would agree, and I put this on here. Well, I had actually before this article or that story came out, I had pegged Michael Thomas as one of my deep sleepers in the article, which we'll talk about later on the podcast in a different episode. I mean, and it's on the draft kit. But just because, like you said, his athletic profile and where he landed, it was one of my favorite fits out of the draft for a prospect to a team because
don't disagree.
They had just gotten rid of Marcus Colston, who was that big, not ultra fast, but a good route runner and a physical guy operating out of the slot and in the red zone. And that's what they have in Michael Thomas now, because you look at Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks, they're faster, shiftier guys, both can go deep and stuff, but you're gonna have Michael Thomas as this chain mover now and this big target in the red zone.
Yeah.
And for Breeze, I mean, you have to take all this stuff with a grain of salt. Like, it is June, as we said. Like, they're playing against air, basically. Nothing has come on. But in that article, too, Breeze specifically spoke to how he gave him, like, a hand signal for a route adjustment. And as a rookie, he made it. Those are little things that are going to help Michael Thomas see the field early and often as a rookie and help him earn the trust of Drew Breeze, which could, in turn, lead to some fantasy points.
He's Keyshawn Johnson's nephew.
Yes.
He's 6'3", 210. Played at Ohio State, I don't want to say he was a spectacular player there because he wasn't. He was a good player.
There was like nobody in that passing offense that was spectacular, though, because that offense wasn't predicated on the pass.
No, it's definitely true. That being said, he just wasn't that guy. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't that guy that took over a game. He kind of sort of lets the ball get into his body a little bit, and I'm sure you could drill that out. That's fine. But again, we talk about the athletic profile. Very athletic dude. 6'3", 210. Had great combine numbers. I won't bore you with all the 40 times and all that. But a big-time guy and played in a big-time program, and he knows about the NFL game through his uncle, Keyshawn Johnson. And he's got one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and Drew Brees throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Got to like it.
So that's why he's not somebody you're going to be jumping way up in your draft to get. But depending on how the rest of the offseason goes, what we see in the preseason, he's either a guy that's going to be a great late-round flyer or somebody to keep an eye on the waiver wire if all of a sudden he starts to make a splash.
I mean, you got to keep in mind, too, Marcus Colston, when he was in his heyday, was catching 75 to 85 balls.
1,008 like every year
right.
on the floor, basically.
No problem, right? So, like, if you could find that magic again, why not?
Absolutely.
Why not?
All Absolutely. Right.
Those are your top headlines for today. Let's talk about the draft kit, NFL.com/draftkit. Great content on there, as we mentioned. NFL.com/fantasy if you want to do a mock draft. A lot of fun, as always. All right, let's get into the bargains. Marcus, give me some guys. I'll list off the 10 guys that you had listed. Tavon Austin, DeSean Jackson, Deion Lewis, Julius Thomas, Michael Floyd, Eli Manning, Marcus Wheaton, Tevin Coleman, Travis Benjamin, and the Chronicles of Theo Riddick are your bargains.
Yep. I mean, the guy that I'm
super hyper on. Give it to me.
Tavon Austin. And I can't believe I keep saying it, and I still can't believe I keep saying it.
I know.
But I think
I'm surprised.
Well, I think what turns people off about Tavon Austin is the fact that you draft him as a wide receiver, and his wide receiver numbers are not good.
No.
I mean, this is a guy who had fewer than 500 receiving yards last year. He had 473 receiving yards.
Okay.
434 rushing yards.
He had over 1,000 yards.
He had over 900 yards.
I can't do math.
Yeah, math is hard. But 907 yards, scrimmage yards, 9 total touchdowns last year. And I think what it signals is that the Rams have finally figured out, it took 3 seasons, but they finally figured out how to use Tavon Austin a little bit. And that really is kind of the way we imagined Percy Harvin was going to be once upon a time. When Percy Harvin was right, he was that guy who was both a runner and a receiver. And I think that's what the Rams are going to do with Tavon Austin. And I mean, you're not drafting him as a wide receiver one or even a wide receiver two. He's probably more of a flex guy for you. But this is a guy who has that dual threat ability, has the ability to get into the end zone. And you look at it, his numbers, he was right up there with guys like Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. I mean, he had kind of top 25 fantasy numbers as a wide receiver, but you just look at him and you shrug your shoulders because, I mean, here it is. He can't even get 500 receiving yards in a season. But I think
it's so interesting. He had 52 receptions and 52 rushing attempts.
I know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
symmetrical.
I did hear word out of L.A. is that they want to get Tavon Austin, or they think they can get him, 100 catches this year.
Wow.
Which could be – I mean,
it could be a lot of dump-offs, could be some bubble screens, stuff like that.
But it could be a Jarvis Landry type 100 catches where every pass he catches is 5 to 10 yards from the field.
No. He's not that guy. He doesn't have that kind of route running ability in him. He's a bubble screen guy. Maybe you throw him a flanker screen and stuff.
I didn't say I believe it. I said that's word out of LA.
No. I'm not even close to buying that. If he gets to 75, I will be surprised.
Even still though, if you add, 25 more receptions onto his totals there, the touchdown numbers might regress. Tavon Austin goes in what, like the 10th, 12th round?
That is potentially.
I don't even know if he's going 12th round. Is he?
Like if I'm looking there, if I've got at that point I've got several wide receivers already.
Sure.
If I'm just trying to grab a wild card or somebody with like matchup based upside, because Tavon Austin had several weeks last year where
he did
drop 20 points.
He did.
That's a great addition as a wide receiver 4 or a wide receiver 5. But let's see what our friends at Fantasy Calculator.
10th round right now.
10th round. No one in the fantasy stronghold other than Matt Money Smith has him in the top 100. Matt's got him at 80. I think to me, I've got him in that 110, 115 range.
Yeah, he wouldn't be far outside.
But again, I think that has more to do with, the versatility of the skill set and Jared Goff being there and defenses having to worry about Todd Gurley. You're right. I mean, the rushing numbers are definitely surprising. Definitely surprising. His rookie year, he ran for 151. His second year, he ran for 224. And then last year, he ran for 434. It's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, they're figuring out how to manufacture production out of him. But, I mean, let's not forget, too, this is a guy they traded up for in the first round.
Right? It's true.
Like, he is extremely talented.
It's true.
He's athletic. They're going to want to give him the ball.
Last year was just his third season. It feels like he's been around a lot longer.
I know.
But last year was just his third season.
No, it's true. It's true. It's because he had so much hype coming out of West Virginia, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. You know what I mean? Who else do you like in the bargains?
Another guy that I really like in the bargains. I mean, I think Deion Lewis is one to keep an eye on.
Love it.
I'm sort of hoping people forgot about him. I don't think that's really going to be the case, but I think
it will be the case. I think the injury and Beltrix will scare some people off, at least a bit.
I don't know.
A bit.
It depends on how closely people follow, like, the big analysts and stuff, because I know over at ESPN, they ranked him about their RB20 on the season. We have him about as our RB20 on the season, so...
Okay.
When people are doing drafts and that you're going through the draft list,
yeah,
Deion Lewis is going to be right there.
But he's going right now late fourth round in a lot of spots, which I think is good in the sense that he can give you maybe fringe RB1 numbers, if he stays
healthy.
He's
got that upside.
I mean, let's remember when he was healthy. He was the running back for the Patriots last year. There really wasn't the rotation. You didn't see a lot of LeGarrette Blount or anybody else. It was when Lewis got hurt that they had to start running different bodies in there. But as long as he's healthy and if they believe in him again, hopefully he has that large share of the snaps.
And the biggest what gives him a safe floor and why I think we all have him so high, as people might question it, is his targets and his role in the passing game. Like he was catching a ton of passes early in the season, and after he went down, they threw 54 balls to James White.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so they continued to throw.
James White got 54 targets in New England last year, basically trying to be a poor man's Deion Lewis. So
I think the thing about Deion Lewis that was so impressive was his short area quickness.
Oh God. You remember that touchdown he had where
he ducks under?
Yeah, he like ducks under a guy, like yeah. two others and scores.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah, his short area quickness is
one. He put it on display in week one too. It's great. He was putting the Steelers on their butts a lot in that week one game.
No, it's true. Here's the thing: 4 games without Tom Brady.
Check down city from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep. Is it though?
Why not?
I mean, I don't know. You got to figure Gronk's going to get a lion's share of the targets. Julian Edelman's still there. I don't know. It's a little bit scary taking him in that fourth round area only because I know I'm not going to get Tom Brady for 4 games. That's my only concern.
Which potentially makes him more of a bargain if everybody stays away from him.
That's true. No, I love him. And again, the draft strategy right now that's really popular is taking wide receivers early. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking those wide receivers super early, there's no question. Deion Lewis has got to be a guy you're targeting in that fourth, fifth round range. There's just no question about it.
I agree.
All right, who else do you like?
Let's go Elisha Nelson Manning.
Man, I love this one.
Yeah.
I love this one.
I mean, it was. I think that was one of the.
I'm big on
one of the big moments of our first mock draft that we did all together. That you know, here it is. Everybody takes their quarterback, and everybody feels okay. And then somewhere, was it round 10 or 11?
Harmon got him. No, later. Round 13.
Round 13. He gets Eli Manning, and I think all of us stopped and looked at that and said,
"Dang,
wow,
yeah,
just wow." I mean. Obviously, he's got Beckham there. I know a lot of us are really big on Sterling Shepard this year. I just think the continuity with Ben McAdoo going from OC to head coach, but still keeping that same offense intact and letting everybody get comfortable in it.
I think that's
so huge. And you know, Eli's that guy that, you know, again, sort of like Tavon Austin. You kind of look at him and you're like, eh, whatever. You know what I mean? Unless you really love Manning face. But then at the end of the year – Eli's in the top 10.
I mean,
he's just hanging out there. So to get a legit QB1 in a double-digit round, you know, in the 13th round especially, that's a win.
Can we see more consistency out of Eli Manning? That's the only problem, right?
Yeah,
because on a week-to-week basis, he's very inconsistent. I mean, you talk about him popping into the top 10. I think a large part of that was the fact that he had that 7-touchdown game versus New Orleans, right? I mean, you take that away, and he's not in your top 10. Can we get more consistency? I'll ask you that, Wiz. Can we see more normalized production on a week to week basis?
I think that's the hope now that he has more targets around him is that he will even out a little bit, because while he did have a few more peaks and valleys, he only had 5 games with over 20 or more points. He did have like 10 or 11 where he had 18 or above.
Okay,
but then he also had some stinkers in there that would sneak in, like a 6-point game or a 4-point game. But with the fact that he now has, hopefully, in Sterling Shepard, a consistent option aside from Odell Beckham. And Victor Cruz is a wild card. Like, he could come back, he could be great.
Absolutely.
I think that will allow him to open it up and produce at a more consistent level as opposed to just funneling all the targets to Odell Beckham and having the complete dice roll of throwing it near Reuben Randall.
By the way,
No, he won't have Reuben Randall.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's gone. That was the dice roll.
And the thing about Ben McAdoo, too, I got to believe they're going to be more high tempo. I got to believe that. I think, you know, it's not going to be full Chip Kelly, but they're going to run more offensive plays, meaning more opportunities to put up stats and be more successful. I got to think that Ben McAdoo is going to run this offense a lot more high tempo than we saw in the old regime. That's my big thing. And when you get more opportunities, Eli Manning, even again under a Coughlin system that was relatively conservative, still put up borderline top 10 numbers. What happens when he starts running a lot more plays? I love Eli Manning this year. He's one of those guys, again, with Derek Carr, that if you're waiting on quarterback, and again, you have to wait on quarterback this year, guys. You got to do it. I mean, unless you just have a man crush on Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton, okay, I get it. But if it's not one of those guys, you got to wait. And Eli Manning is one of those dudes that I'm taking in those double-digit rounds. He, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, that's that trio of quarterbacks. When I get into that 10th round and later, I don't feel bad about having any one of those guys. I don't feel bad about having any one of those guys. All right, should we get to breakouts?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Breakouts. This is a Michael Fabiano production. He's got David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Lamar Miller, Sammy Watkins, Carlos Hyde, Amari Cooper, Golden Tate, Kobe Fleener, Ladarius Green, and Marcus Mariota. Who do we like in terms of this list, in terms of really busting through. I mean, the interesting thing, too, is he's got two guys already that are in the first round. Are they going to really, break out?
And in the article, he defends them with David Johnson and Lamar Miller is that, yeah, they finished highly last year in terms of overall scoring, but
right.
neither had the amount of touches that you would have thought they could get.
True.
And when Lamar Miller actually gets featured back touches in Houston, as he should, and David Johnson is the RB1 for that team for the whole year,
right.
I think that's why Fabs put him on here is because like they could easily like jump past the numbers they put up last year.
All right, there you go.
But other guys I like on this list are we talk about Carlos Hyde on here all the time. Let's talk a little
do
bit
Do we,
about-
though? I feel like he's kind of going under the or if we do talk about Carlos Hyde, it's always with question marks. Like, is he going to fit in this Chip Kelly system?
I think he
is he back from his broken foot?
I don't think there's any question about him fitting in the system, and I don't think there's any, you know, I feel confident that he's healthy. The question becomes, what can the Niners do in the passing game to prevent teams from just stacking the box against Carlos Hyde?
Yeah, that makes me scared. That makes me scared. The new offense makes me scared. Are we seeing a DeMarco Murray situation here? I don't know. A lot of question marks.
The guys behind him would make me feel that this is not going to be a DeMarco Murray situation. This is going to be more like the LeSean McCoy years with Chip Kelly where
okay.
he feeds Carlos Hyde. And some people have questioned his ability to catch passes and stuff, but I think he's fine at that.
I think
he'll still see the field. Especially with how quickly that offense runs, I don't know that they'd be rotating him out all that often just to get in Sean Drone to catch passes.
I don't know.
Mike Davis? I don't think so. I would imagine they keep
Is Mike
Carlos
Davis still on the roster?
Yeah, they only drafted him like a year ago.
Yeah, it hadn't been that long ago.
Oh God.
So I really like Carlos Hyde's potential this year.
Okay.
And while yes, the 49ers could be bad and they could be playing from behind a lot, which
yeah.
might not mean a ton of carries for him. He's going to get fed early. He's going to be the guy on the goal line. I think he'll get some passing work. And, I mean, you're drafting him in the RB2
yeah.
range. Like,
yeah.
heck yeah.
Yeah, you
can there all day.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, who else you like?
Marcus?
Who else do I like on this list? Let's see. I do like Ladarius Green.
Okay.
You know, I feel like that, you know, maybe that's stating the obvious right now, but with no Martavis Bryant, you know, with Heath Miller retired, there are a ton of targets out there available in the Pittsburgh offense. And the offense that, you know, is arguably the most high-powered passing game in the league right now, it's certainly up there.
I agree.
You know, and we saw a little bit of what Green could do last year at the start of the year when Antonio Gates was out with a suspension and he was a little bit banged up. Green looked good. He certainly looked good in that Charger offense. I think going to Pittsburgh is going to be a big help. So I think, you know, this is a year that he finally takes that step forward we've been waiting on. I guess the downside for Green
yeah.
Is that tight end is really deep this year
it
in
is.
Fantasy. Although I guess that works in your favor if you were drafting because there'll probably be some names that go off the board ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
he's going in
a good bargain.
He's going the eighth round.
Which is fine.
I love him in that range because remember when Martavis got suspended on this podcast, I surmised that Ladarius Green would rocket up into the fifth round. So
yeah. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was on a 12-team mocker. On a 10-team mock, he's going in round 10.
Oh.
Even better.
Even better.
So he's a guy that, like you said, Marcus, with Heath Miller out. Heath Miller averaged 88 targets over the last several years there in Pittsburgh. He had five tight end one finishes in his 11 years in Pittsburgh. And he was never the number one tight end, but finishing as a top 12 tight end. And he was never the athlete that Ladarius Green is. So
no,
Ladarius
this guy
is going to give them
legit speed.
Is going to give them a much more dynamic element up the seam. He's going to be able to do a little more after the catch. And I think, assuming he and Ben get their connection together, he could put up some really solid tight end numbers.
Ladarius Green has legit 4.5 speed. I mean, that's legit wide receiver speed.
Yeah.
And he's a big body. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about Ladarius Green. And you're telling me I can get him in the 10th round? Yeah. Give me that guy. We've all got him ranked somewhere in the late 70s, early 80s range. I think Matt Money Smith doesn't have him in his top 100. Oh, Rank doesn't have him in his top 100 either. Interesting.
Those guys.
Oh. We'll see. I don't know. Like I said, tight end is one of those high variance positions, so it doesn't necessarily surprise me. I'm sure they're hanging around that top 100. There's no doubt about it. All right, Gilhar, who else do you like on this list?
I want to talk about Amari Cooper a little
bit. Please.
I mean, we are giving some love to his quarterback
yep.
In the news section, but Amari Cooper, like everybody, we were so spoiled in 2014 with the Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, rookie wide receiver class, that some people like would view Amari Cooper's 140.7 fantasy points as a rookie as somewhat of a disappointment because he was kind of inconsistent. But
right.
The guy still played very well, and he came into the league already as the most polished wide receiver in that class. Like we saw him, if you watched the all 22 of him and just watch him, he puts cornerbacks on skates more often than many wide receivers of his age should. So him taking that next step, he's got another full offseason of reps, same offense. More rapport with Derek Carr. The one thing we need to see jump up for him are his red zone targets because yep. Michael Crabtree and others owned him there.
Right.
But if those even out a little bit more, man, I think Amari Cooper could definitely jump up to the bottom end of that wide receiver one status.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, what a great landing spot for him too, right? To pair up with Derek Carr.
Young quarterback, yep.
That's great. I absolutely love it. I know Fabs has been ridiculously high on Kobe Fleener. And I feel like we've talked about him a little bit, but do you agree that Kobe Fleener could be in line for a big-time season this year?
Marcus, you take the floor first.
I mean, I think he will give you better numbers this year than he has in the past.
Okay.
But I don't know that suddenly he jumps in. Certainly he's not Jimmy Graham. I'm not even sure that he gives you what Ben Watson gave you. Like, I mean, Watson kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh, big time.
To put up,
big time.
He put up career numbers, and that just came out of nowhere. And I don't know necessarily that Kobe Fleener jumps in and does that. I mean, I would think that if he was capable of that, he would have shown you something. And, I mean, you go back to what he did in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was always competing with Dwayne Allen. Dwayne Allen spent a lot of time hurt and not available for the Colts.
You know, that's a great point.
And Fleener was playing with a really good quarterback in Andrew Luck. And he still never put together those big-time numbers. So I'm not sure.
And their former teammates. They had chemistry already.
Hey, they were roommates at Stanford. You might have heard.
I didn't know that.
Did you know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard?
No.
Right? I know.
Really?
So, I don't know. I mean, he'll be good. He'll be better than he has been. But I don't know that all of a sudden he jumps in and is immediately a must-have tight end.
Last year with the Colts, Kobe Fleener had 54 receptions for 491 yards and 3 touchdowns. Obviously, that was a disappointment. But Ben Watson, to Michael Fabiano's point, that last year, again, Ben Watson, folks, had 74 receptions and 825 yards to go along with 6 touchdowns. That's really good.
Yeah. The big hope with Kobe Fleener is that he just assumes all the tight end targets that have been going to Jimmy Graham and then Ben Watson over the years. But that's jumping on the assumption that he is that level of player. Like, he is not a Jimmy Graham, and I'm not even sure he's a Ben Watson. Like, Kobe Fleener's a big athletic guy. But to Marcus's point, we have not seen him put it all together at the NFL level yet.
Isn't he kind of that in-between type tight end too? Like Jimmy Graham is amazing as a move tight end, right? Amazing. He can catch it with the best of them, right? And then Ben Watson was on the field a lot because he was such a great blocker. And his production was almost a side piece to his ability to be able to block. That's why he's on the field. Kobe Fleener's kind of in between. He's not quite as good at blocking as Ben Watson, and he's not quite as good at catching the ball as Jimmy Graham. I'm kind of confused by the skill set.
That's fair. And my other concern with, at first I was like, well, I might be willing to take a late round flyer on Kobe Fleener just because he could be the red zone monster for them, being 6'5 or 6'6 or whatever he is.
Yeah, 6'6.
But then they went out and drafted Michael Thomas, who I also think is going to get a bunch of red
zone.
That's
a good
looks.
Point.
And I've just never been – Kobe Fleener is a fine NFL player, but I've never been, like, enamored with his game at the NFL level. So I'm probably –
Especially from the fantasy perspective.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be jumping on the Kobe Fleener bandwagon. I know plenty are, and I understand the logic, but there are other places I would rather go than Kobe Fleener looking for that sort of production.
All right, let's do Daily Dap to get out. Or is there another player that you'd like to
do? I think that's good. We can send people back to the draft kit to read all of Fabiano's analysis and more. And
there you go.
We will all be adding our top 10 list to these pieces on the draft kit soon because, like, James, you wrote busts. Marcus wrote bargains. Mm-hmm. We're going to be collecting everybody else's top 10 lists and putting them at the bottom of those so you have more expert lists to draw – expert, I hate that term – more analyst lists to draw from as you're preparing for your drafts. But let's get to daps.
Let's do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Give me daps, cause I be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up, daps abound, daps.
All righty, Daily Dap time. Marcus Grant, MG, my guy. What's up?
Well, a couple quick things. I guess both semi-sad.
Okay.
I mean, today would have been Prince's birthday.
Really?
Yeah, today he would have he would have turned 58 years old. So it's I guess it's unofficially Prince Day on Twitter.
Okay.
So you know, I don't know, throw on some Purple Rain or something. You know, just rock out, enjoy the day. Other Daily Dap, I think for me, obviously goes to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. There you go.
Just the greatness that was, and you know, my dad and I spent a lot of time talking about it over the weekend. I know that he was a huge Ali fan, and you know, I was up in the Bay Area this past weekend. And you know, we spent a lot of time just kind of watching the remembrances on TV and just kind of
a lot of great stuff
for an incredible man who was way more complex than I think you know he is being portrayed to be, and I think that applies to anybody who lived the kind of life that he did
for sure.
But a man who I think was honestly, maybe the most famous person of our lifetimes.
That's a very good point.
You know, I mean, worldwide, no matter where you went in the world, you say the name, you show the picture, and everyone knew who he was. So
yeah, speaking to that complexity, man, I mean, I get that he was a hero to a lot of folks. But man, it's interesting. There's a lot of stories, too, about how he was a jerk to a lot of people, too.
Yeah.
And he was a very complex guy. You know, the fact that he was in his position and said, no, I will not fight in a war that he deemed to be immoral. To me, that speaks more about his character than anything else.
Yeah. Well, and he's in his part of his argument, too, is he said, my war is not over there. My war is right here.
Right.
With, you know, with the civil rights movement and the racial division in our own country.
And for him to stand up, can you imagine a modern day athlete in today's society doing something like that?
Could you imagine? Yeah. Like, there's just no way. If Cam Newton did that right now.
And said, I'm going to go to jail for a couple of years and lose 2 years of my prime earning potential because of something that I believe in. Can you imagine anybody, any athlete?
It would be
doing that?
Insane.
Can you imagine any
they
person?
Would be, they would probably
that?
Be vilified, honestly, in
yeah.
this, in
well,
this hot take
I mean,
sports talk
think about
right
it.
Now.
Look, Cam Newton is getting killed for dabbing. You know, you have soccer moms writing angry letters because Cam Newton dances after he scores a touchdown. So, yeah, it's just not. Although, I will say that, you know, while we'll never see that part, I think, of an athlete again.
Right.
Ali did inspire a lot of the, you know, the trash talk and a lot of the, you know, kind of
right.
more showmanship.
He was the greatest.
He was absolutely the greatest at it, but he certainly inspired a lot of the showmanship that we see from professional athletes.
Which is, especially from the boxing world, which is terribly unfortunate because people just, it's like, you're not good at it, man. Stop trash talking. Like, no, your trash talk is weak. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
WizKid, what's up?
Two daps for me.
Okay.
First one, I'm probably going to dap it again once the season is over, but right. just want to throw out a daps to Game of Thrones this year. Okay. I think it's been fantastic.
Been good?
We've been through 7 episodes now, and everybody I keep talking to is like, oh my God, I can't believe it's going so fast. I'm like, it's because every episode is great. There haven't been the episodes where you're like, oh man, I can't, like, everybody's can't, like, I can't wait till next week, but it's not like, okay, that episode was kind of a bummer, like, I can't wait till next week. It's just every episode has been good. There's been good dramatic arcs with all the characters. Ian McShane was on this week's episode, one of my favorite actors from Deadwood, and it's been great. So I'm very much enjoying the season. And then my second dap goes to Big Bear, California. Which,
okay.
If you ever come out to California,
hit it up.
It's worth a little stop.
Sure.
It's a sleepy little town on the top of a mountain around a man-made lake. And some friends and I, we started it when we were all transplants. We moved out here. We were like, let's get out of L.A. for a weekend. It
takes like 90 minutes to get there.
It's like 2 hours. 2 hours to get up to Big Bear. You drive up the mountain. It's just this sleepy little town. We always rent a cabin. We get up. We grill out.
It's
we
beautiful.
Might play some sports, go swimming, whatever.
Sure.
It's just a great little place to get out of. And one of the many things I like about California and living in Los Angeles is everybody's always like, oh, Hollywood. But I'm like, this area has so much to offer if
sure.
you just drive a couple hours.
And that's what they say. I mean, you know, it's one of the few places in the world where you can go from the mountains to the beach in the same day.
Yep.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
No,
it's true.
In winter, you could go skiing and then be like, let's go surfing and drive across
a couple
LA.
Hours to the beach. There you go.
So it's cool.
That's a very good point. Game of Thrones and Big Bear for the whiskey. You know, for me, I'll give a daily dap to Kimbo Slice. I know he wasn't the greatest fighter in the world, but man, was he entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Man, was he entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
And RIP to Kimbo Slice, Kevin Ferguson. Heard that news that came down. He was in his early 40s, passed away suddenly. And I was bummed out. I was like, man, really, Kimbo Slice? That did kind of bum me out there. But it inspired me to go back and look at some of his crazier YouTube videos when he was not a professional fighter, but an underground fighter fighting in the backyard. For any young fight fans out there, if you haven't seen Kimbo Slice, this guy, I really honestly believe he was one of those guys that helped YouTube succeed.
Oh, yeah, and helped the sport of, like, MMA succeed, because you would tune in just be like, what's Kimbo going to do?
What's Kimbo going to do? Yeah, no, he was, it was crazy. A highly entertaining dude was Kimbo Slice. So if you haven't seen some of his YouTube videos, and it's not for the kiddies. It's probably not safe for work either. But that being said, I did go down a Kimbo Slice wormhole on YouTube last night. So daily daps to him. Undaps to the UFC. Staying with the MMA theme. Undaps to the UFC for just randomly picking on and pulling the credentials of Ariel Helwani, and they banned him for life. For what?
Did you hear the second part of that story though? He admitted to being their, like, paid shill.
Well, I saw the Deadspin headline. I don't necessarily agree. Having worked in the that side of that industry myself, and being even in the industry where we are today, I don't necessarily agree with that assessment. I get where they went to get that. Get it. But, I don't know. I listened to the entire MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani yesterday. It was highly emotional. Gave a lot of revealing things about what happens backstage, and I can confirm a lot of that stuff in terms of the feel and basically how they run their operation. I kind of described the UFC PR staff kind of as like a bipolar girlfriend. They are amazing at times. I mean, just amazing. There's no professional sport that will get you closer to their championship level athletes than the UFC. I mean, they will really go out of their way to make sure that you could get that media time. That being said, there's also not a more controlling entity in terms of, you know, how they want to control the media message. So they've done both. They've done a great job by making their athletes accessible, but again, they've just done a huge disservice to their fans by basically blackballing Ariel Helwani for breaking a couple pieces of news. I mean, I don't know, man. It just, to me, as a guy who is a journalist first and kind of, a media personality, air quotes, included second, I just was disappointed. Yeah. I was really disappointed by that, and I really do hope something changes, but it doesn't look like it will. So for now, undaps to the UFC and support for Ariel Helwani, no doubt about it. All right, so there you go. That's our show. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, for MG, my guy Marcus Grant, I'm James Coe. It's the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast, NFL.com/fantasy. See ya.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.